Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
And this week on Register Radio, Tim Drake will take listeners behind the scenes at the National Catholic Register. He'll be speaking with the Register's managing editor, Tom Wehner, about what's involved, actually, in putting a newspaper together every week. And in our Media Watch segment, Tim will be talking with Father Robert Barron, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Father is the founder of Word on Fire and the recently released DVD series, The Catholicism Project. And he'll be talking with us about the New York Times' distorted treatment of the church. We think it's going to be a great show, and we hope that you can stay with us for the entire program. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Tim Drake here. He is senior writer for the Register. Hello, Tim.
Great to be with you, Tom.
As always, my friend. Tim, I think people have this idea about what it takes to put out a newspaper. You know, I personally have these old visions of Lois Lane and Clark Kent. And of course, there's that editor who's always looking for Spider-Man, J. Jonah Jameson. So here's my question for you, young man. Is the Register like that?
It is kind of like that because our J. Jonah Jameson, Tom Wehner, he's always looking for me because I'm out in Minnesota. So I'm kind of like the Spider-Man of the Register. It's not quite like that, but it's good to have Tom with us this morning. Tom knows news. Prior to working for the National Catholic Register, Tom spent 25 years working in secular media and publishing, and he currently serves as the National Catholic Register's managing editor. Tom, thanks for joining us today on Register Radio.
It is great to be with you, Tim and Tom and Dan. It's a pleasure
Thank
to
you.
Talk radio and talk publishing.
Now, because we work in the business, I think what we sometimes forget is that people don't have a picture of what it's like in the Register's world. So give, first of all, a snapshot of the size of the Register's staff, and then how many different freelance writers work for the newspaper from around the world.
Well, Tim, I will share this information with you, Dan, and Tom, and the intimate gathering we have across the nation and probably across the world with EWTN's radio listeners. We have seven staffers. We have seven Register staffers, and I know that is a biblically perfect number, but we're hoping to raise enough revenue where we can hire additional staff members because we've been growing since our marriage to EWTN. In addition to that, however, in addition to the seven staff members, we do have approximately 75 correspondents that we employ for stories who write for us, and they're located around the world. We have a correspondent in Rome, we have a correspondent in Jerusalem, we have a correspondent in Asia and other parts of Europe and Mexico and the world. So we're pretty spread out in terms of writers.
And in covering the news, we need to be spread out. I think that's the thing. When I talk to people who read the Register, they are sometimes surprised to learn that we have these freelancers who are in Latin America and Asia and the Middle East, around the world. But that's necessary in trying to report on what's happening in the church and in the world, isn't it?
It is, and it is really, really gratifying to hear from these writers because they know what the Register represents in the scheme of Catholic publishing and in publishing as in general, because they are aware of the Register's mission and the perfect marriage with EWTN. We complement our mission perfectly. They understand that what the Register represents, and so a lot of them are willing to write for the Register.
Tom, you mentioned that they understand what the Register represents. Can you explain for listeners what does the National Catholic Register represent?
Sure. It is interesting because having spent 25 years in secular publishing, you see all different kinds of ethical practices, good and bad, and solid reporting and not so solid reporting, solid editing and whatnot. And the Register, I think, which is what drew me to it, drew me to the publication even before I started working for the Register, was its commitment to the mission of the church. If you can put a snapshot on it, the Register looks at the events of the world through the lens of the church, whereas our other media outlets, whether secular and Catholic, will do the opposite. They will look at the church through the lens of the world, and that is oftentimes that is in direct conflict with what the church teaches. So we proudly and unabashedly say that we are loyal to the Pope and Magisterium, and we hope that our publication, our content, both in print and online and on Register Radio, reflects that.
Sure. This is Tim Drake with Register Radio. I am speaking with Tom Wehner, Managing Editor of the National Catholic Register. Tom, just give a snapshot of how the newspaper actually gets put together every other week.
Okay. And since, actually, when you say every other week, I will answer your question regarding the print edition, because if you really look at it, we are a daily publication, because we update our website daily with new blogging material and new content for the website daily. So that's our daily operation. As far as the print edition goes, Tim, we have a news meeting every Monday, and this is a formal news meeting. This does not include the emails that go back and forth between our staffers and our correspondents and all the different story pitches and proposals that we receive. But we have a news meeting every Monday, a formal news meeting, where we map out our next print edition. We have a theme or a few themes that we have set for a particular issue, and we try to tailor some of our features and perhaps one or two news stories and maybe one of our columns, our opinion columns, and perhaps the publisher's note or an editorial toward that theme. And so each of the seven people who have a direct hand in the Register's publication, all of our staffers, we will meet, and and one of them includes our graphic designer, who will give us how much space we have, and it's, so it's very where we are relegated to how much space we have. We need to be really, really solid in our reporting and writing in that way. To make a long story even longer, give and take. We communicate between each other, and we come up with the best kind of story ideas and who will write the stories. And we really try to grind it out and get the best possible content to go with the theme, and best then see what happens in the news, whether it's national news or Vatican news. And we try to make sure that we get the most up-to-date content for our print edition.
I want to remind listeners, we're talking with Tom Wehner, Managing Editor at the National Catholic Register. Tell me, Tom, how is the choice made about which writers to assign stories to, and how do you end up prioritizing which stories are worth covering and which are not?
Well, fortunately, providentially, the Register staff is a veteran staff. I mean, Tim, you yourself have been associated with the Register for more than 10 years, and our other staffers are veteran staffers. So they know their milieu, so they know, because of the small staff, I have lots of trust in you and in the staff that comprises the Register staff. We do have writers who do have a specific specialty, and so yours, I mean, because you're in your past life, you're an educator, so usually we will give you, if there's a story that comes our way, we will give priority to you as your specialty within education. So if you, all you listeners out there, if you see an education story, that's Tim Drake has probably, that's his specialty, so he will have priority to write that. A lot of our story proposals come in from our writers. Story pitches will come in from our correspondents who aren't staffers. We will assess, they are pretty good writers in their own right. So we will assess the importance of the issue, and we will talk about it at our staff meeting. And if it's something that we can let the writer who proposed the story write, we will let them do that. Otherwise, we do have, as I said, our veteran staff can choose from a great roster of freelancers that we have at our disposal, and we will assess it that way.
Let's talk a little bit about the online presence of the Register, because that has changed significantly. In January of 2010, the website was redesigned, and several bloggers were brought on the Register's team. Talk a little bit about how the newspaper, the print version, and the website work together.
That's a great question, because we do have a dedicated print readership that shows an amazing loyalty to the Register and what we accomplish. We try to have that spill over into our online presence, and it has so far very much. We made the decision to add bloggers in order to increase our readership online, which, I mean, and blogging as a relatively new phenomenon, but I mean, relatively new can be a week in the new media. I guess blogging is now regarded as an older form of new media. The addition of the bloggers in January 2010 immediately transformed our online presence. In the every previous benchmark that we had for our website was eclipsed in a big way. And to give you an idea of our readership, our online readership, it's between the months of March and August. From March to August, end of August 2010, the Register had 1.3 million visitors to ncregister.com. In that same span in 2011, this year, we had 2.7 million visitors to ncregister.com. So the bloggers that were chosen for ncregister.com had a distinct value. They weren't just selected from, you know, we picked and choose. We actually had meetings to determine who was going to be blogging for the Register, their content and their value, and I consider them the writers first and foremost, because their value as a writer is very, very high, because you'll see some of the bloggers who also write in the Register print edition as columnists, etc. So they are writers first and foremost, and so they get the message of the gospel across, and in a really, really endearing way, and sometimes in a really confrontational way. We accept that.
You talked about has the subscriptions to the Register, have those increased since EW10's acquisition of the newspaper, Tom?
Yes, they have, Tim. They've gone up. Since February 1st, they've gone up slowly but steadily, and we know, and so we are hoping that better things will catch on. I receive correspondence, whether by phone or email, who are wishing us well in the new relationship and the new collaboration with EWTN, and as I said before, it can only mean better things for both. For all parties involved, and ultimately for the church, because you try to put numbers, you try to put numbers behind things. Numbers do mean something, but when you're in the business that EWTN and the Register are in, you're really not going to see the fruits of your labors until the next world. You know, it's interesting how that works.
That's right. Well, Tom, I want to thank you for taking the time to give us a little behind the scenes look at the National Catholic Register here on Register Radio. And I also want to say it's great working with you.
Same here, Tim. It's been my pleasure.
Always a pleasure talking with both of you. Thank you so much, Tom and Tim. And when we return, it is our Media Watch segment. We'll be talking with Father Robert Barron about media distortion on the church. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Are you concerned about the way our nation and our world are heading? Are you looking for the truth behind the issues of the day? Do you need support in standing up for life, the family, and our Catholic faith? Then join well-informed Catholics worldwide who depend on the National Catholic Register to address the most compelling questions of our time. Now part of the EWTN family of services, the Register is a trusted source of news and views with an unwavering fidelity to the Pope and the Magisterium. Get the in-depth analysis you need explaining what happened and why it matters for Catholics who engage in the culture to serve Christ. To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner, or call 800-854-6316.
If it's happening at the Vatican, the United States, or anywhere else in the world, look to EWTN News for live coverage of landmark events in the life of the Church. From today's headlines to compelling interviews with Catholic newsmakers, EWTN News, only on the Global Catholic Network.
It's fun.
It's free.
It's Wings, EWTN's weekly e-newsletter delivered to your inbox free each week. Read about upcoming special programming.
And learn what's new at EWTN, radio, TV, and internet.
Just send an email to radio@EWTN.com.
Be sure to put Wings in the subject line.
Wings, a free service from your friends at the Global Catholic Network, EWTN.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
All right, welcome back. Along with Tim Drake here on Register Radio, I'm Tom Price. Tim, back in late August, there was a pretty rough article in the New York Times regarding religion in general. Well, there's really nothing new about that, but this one was written by an executive editor at the Times, Bill Keller. And Tim, I got to tell you, I have never heard belief in the Eucharist compared to belief in aliens from outer space. Can you fill us in on this?
That's right. This is our Media Watch segment here on Register Radio, and in this segment we try to tackle some of the different ways the secular media is portraying the Church. And in this August 25th editorial, it was titled Asking Candidates Tougher Questions About Faith, New York Times executive editor Bill Keller scrutinized the religious beliefs of the different GOP presidential candidates. And he touched on Mormonism, evangelical Christianity, and Catholicism. And in the editorial, he likened Catholics' belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist to belief in aliens. Oh. He wrote, "If a candidate for president said he believed that space aliens dwell among us, would that affect your willingness to vote for him?" he asked. And he later wrote, "Every faith has its baggage, and every faith holds beliefs that will seem bizarre to outsiders. I grew up believing that a priest could turn a bread wafer into the actual flesh of Christ." And so we thought we would bring on Father Robert Barron with us today to kind of tackle this. Father Barron heads up the Word on Fire ministry out of the Archdiocese of Chicago and is also the creative director behind the new Catholicism series, which will be airing on PBS starting September 22nd. So, Father Barron, thanks for being with us.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning.
So, first of all, Father Barron, what was your reaction to Keller's comments, specifically his description of the Catholic belief in the real presence as baggage?
Yeah, well, it's sadly typical, as you were saying, you know, of not just the New York Times, but a lot of the mainstream media. Something I've noticed, you know, I've been following media for a long time, and this extraordinary uptick after September 11th, I would argue, in anti-religious rhetoric. A tendency to mock religion rather than seriously engage it. I mean, go back to the early 20th century, mid-20th century, and you have the great atheists like Sartre and Camus and company. Well, they engaged religion seriously. They knew they were up against a serious opponent. And they disbelieved in God, and they didn't like the Church particularly, but they didn't mock it. Well, now you see, after September 11th, and the rise of the Hitchens and Dawkins and Bill Mahers and Sam Harris's, you find a shift in tactic. Not even an attempt to understand what the Church means by its teaching, but simply to mock it in the most sort of juvenile way. Sadly, you see it in all the comment boxes and all that on the Internet, is people have taken their cues from Hitchens, Dawkins, and company, and they just sort of dismiss religion with the back of the hand. It's really sad that it's come into, you know, much of the leading mainstream media in the same way. So, I mean, I'm not really surprised by it. I see it all the time, but it's still, it's, you know, dispiriting and discouraging.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'd never thought of sort of the treatment of religion pre-9/11 and post-9/11. Yeah. But with the rise of the new atheists,
yeah,
it almost seems like we need a new apologetics,
yep,
to kind of to respond, don't we?
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, I've been thinking about it for a long time. There is a clear watershed at September 11th, because what it did, it stirred up in the minds of a lot of people that old Enlightenment era critique, namely, religion is irrational, therefore it's violent. You go back to Kant and to Schleiermacher and to Spinoza and the leading philosophers of the Enlightenment, that was exactly the argument. Religion is irrational, therefore you can't really have an argument about it. All you can do is fight about it, which is why religious people tend toward violence. And that old argument from the 18th century was stirred up after September 11th. People said, well, look, there's these irrational, therefore violent religious people knocking down the World Trade Center. All religion is like that, you know. So I found a revival of it. And that's why I think it's no accident that Hitchens and company emerged so strongly after September 11th. The difference, of course, is you want people who be willing to engage religion seriously, to try to find out what serious religious people actually mean when they use language like a wafer bread is transubstantiated into the body of Jesus. But I find that there's just an unwillingness on the part of much of the mainstream media even to understand what we mean. It's simply a back-of-the-hand dismissal. That's the problem. And then to your point, yes, indeed, we need a new apologetics. When I was coming of age, apologetics had a bad flavor. You know, it was seen to be defensive, and it was non-ecumenical, and it was tridentine and all this. But, you know, what's happened is my generation, I'm 50, my generation, you know, ran out to meet the culture. The culture's good, embrace the culture. Well, now, I mean, a large part of the culture is turned against us with hostility. And so there we are without any weapons. And so I think, yes, indeed, we have to recover the intellectual tradition of Catholicism, which is very strong, and will enable us to meet some of these attacks.
Yeah, it certainly seems that the Catholic Church does not receive the same degree of respect that other faith traditions receive. And don't you think that much of that hostility and hatred that is directed at the Church comes from the fact that the Church is one of the only institutions that's kind of actually stands for something yet?
Yeah. Oh, quite right. I mean, in some ways it's a backhanded compliment that we get so much attention, you know, so much opprobrium. It's because we're the biggest kid around, and as you say, we actually stand for something. So it is a backhanded compliment that we're still seen as a threat. And something I find fascinating, to go back to what I said a few minutes ago, from the Enlightenment on, who is perceived as the great enemy of modernity but the Catholic Church? Mm-hmm. And so you've seen a revival of that argument. Now, I'm with Vatican II. There are elements of modernity that we can and should reach out to. We should try to engage the modern culture as much as we can. But there are elements of the modern culture that are antipathetic to our program. And it's wrong for us simply to, you know, embrace it all in an uncritical spirit. They've recognized in us an opposition. Okay, good. I'm glad. We are opposed to modernity in some ways. I think one of the primary ways is modernity loves the mythology of self-creation. You know, that we make ourselves by sovereign acts of the free will. That's a great modern myth, you know, is that here I am, an individual with rights, privileges, responsibilities, and I can even create the meaning of my own life. Well, I'm glad the Catholic Church stands against that, and I'm furthermore glad that the modern culture recognizes that. They know that we're the enemy of that view. Well, I think we should sure. boldly enter the list and say, yeah, let's get it on. Let's have a good argument about this. So in that way, it is a backhanded compliment that they take us as seriously as they do.
Yeah. And as my last question here, Father Barron, I did want to ask, because you are doing this. You've got YouTube videos, you're on radio, television, and you've got this 10-part series coming out, Catholicism, which is airing on PBS. So just tell us, give us a little snapshot view of what Catholicism is.
Yeah, thank you. It's a 10-part documentary, and it's a thematic approach. I'm looking at everything from Jesus to God to the Church to sacraments, the saints, the last things, etc. So I've got 10 episodes. And my idea was not just to talk about the faith, to show forth its truth, but also to show its beauty. So we went around to, I think it's 16 countries, about 60 locations all over the world, from Chartres to Calcutta to Uganda to the Sistine Chapel, to try to show the beauty of the Catholic faith as I talk about it. So I want the whole texture of the faith to come through. And my idea there is to do something that would edify and instruct Catholics, but also might reach out to and beguile those outside the church. That's why I'm thrilled that PBS and over 80 stations now have picked it up around the country will broadcast it. Because my hope is that someone who's drifted away or fallen away or maybe a secularist, someone who is just uninterested in religion, might see something in this program. Maybe it's the beauty of Chartres or the Sainte Chapelle, or maybe it's the beautiful work of the Mother Teresa sisters in Calcutta.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe there's something that will just beguile them enough to listen. So that was the whole purpose behind the Catholicism series.
Well, we're really looking forward to seeing it. And Father, in our closing moments here, could you please give us your blessing?
I'd be happy to. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon all of you and remain with you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Father Robert Barron, thank you so much for joining us on Register Radio.
You're welcome. My great pleasure.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
And we also want to let listeners know that we have a Register reaction line. They can call in at 205-278-8456. Again, 205-278-8456 to give us their reactions, their comments, their suggestions. We would love to hear from them.
Thanks, Tim, and thanks to you for joining us on Register Radio. For Tim Drake, Father Barron, and everybody at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Next time you visit EWTN.com, be sure to check out the religious catalog section. You'll find a wide variety of Catholic products. From Bibles to rosaries, there's something for everyone. And you can order online. It's easy, safe, and secure. Shop the religious catalog 24 hours a day at EWTN.com.
Pray with us, the Holy Rosary, daily on the Global Catholic Network, EWTN.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.